Front Page Dramas. The roar of the presses. Every week these giant presses roll and keep rolling at tremendous speed. 15,000 an hour until every last one of the 7 million copies of the American Weekly has gone through in full color. Great fiction, interesting features, factual articles, color illustrations. All these are found in every issue of the American Weekly. All these go to make up the nation's reading habit. Another name for the American Weekly, which comes to you every week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This week's front page drama, The Mummy's Revenge, is an original radio drama of the supernatural suggested by incidents and historical characters in a feature article to be found in next Sunday's American Weekly. This unusually interesting article is to be found under the title, Waited 4,700 Years to Get on the Firing Line. But now to our story, The Mummy's Revenge. The scene is a long, low room under the Museum of the Royal College of Surgeons in London. The room has a dank, musty air to it, and its death-like stillness gives it the atmosphere of a tomb. The heavy silence is broken by...
Oi, Hans, where are you? Oi, Hans, where are you?
Come on, what a filthy place. Give me the blooming willies.
Oi, Hans! Oi, Hans!
This blinking place is like a tomb. Black as the inside of a bowler rack. Where is that silly old sod?
Oh, yes! Oh, yes!
And I get jam and bucket. Nothing down here but a blooming echo. Wish I'd brought an electric torch along. Blimey, this is a blackout for fair. I guess I'll have to strike a match, I will.
Oh, my!
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, oh, yeah, oh, oh! Oh, it's you that's making all the booming noise.
Oh, my.
What's in that street pen for the hands I met to review?
That's a foreign bloody question asked a bloke who's been frightened out of his wits. How do you feel plodding around here in the dark and then strike a match and find yourself face to face with a couple of grinning skeletons?
Oh, go on, they won't hurt you.
They gave me quite a turn just the same. First time I've ever been down here.
You should have waited till I showed the light.
This place looks like the chamber of horrors in Madame Tussaud's waxworks. What is all this here?
This here is the Museum of the Royal College of Surgeons. It used to be upstairs, but on account of the bombing, they've moved everything down here. I just keep my eye on them doing an air raid.
Blimey, what a job. Air raid warden to a bunch of blooming skeletons. My job's bad enough being warden to the live ones, but this here... Well, you can blinking well have it with my compliments. It'd give me the bloody willies to fail.
Here now, hold your blooming lip. I want some very distinguished company down here, I'll have you know. See ya?
Who?
Eh.
You mean that skeleton there?
Yes. That is Her Majesty Queen Berengaria, consort of Richard the Lionheart. He's French.
Blimey, she don't look at this.
King Richard was on his way to the Crusades and he married her. And off he went to the wars. He wanted to go with him, but he wouldn't let it. He left her home. Said war was no place for a woman.
Well, she's in one now. Right in the front line, so to speak, the way them jellies are bombing London.
Oh. Now, see this glass case here? Look in. That is all that's left of Robert Bruce. You remember him, don't you?
Not at all. He was King of Scotland. The bloke that was saved by a spider. Spun a web over a funk hole where he was hiding, and our Tommies went by without looking in. Because the spider web spun over it wasn't broken.
That's right. Well, there's all that's left of him. His ninth rib.
How do you know it's his ninth rib?
It's got the number on it, stupid.
Oh. And what's in there?
Oh, look.
Dark neck pink. A pair of hands.
Pretty, aren't they? In perfect condition and all. They belong to Thomas Belford, third son of John of Gaunt, who died in the 1400s.
Half a mile out. Who's them two coves are dangling over there side by side?
Them, son, is the skeletons of two very fine English criminals. The bloke on the left has been immortalized in poetry. He's Eugene Aram, from the poem of the same name, as they say in the cinema.
Him, what was the schoolmaster who robbed and murdered his extra curriculum, as the professor say?
Right, you are, my dear.
I thought so.
Now, him on the right, his name is Wilde.
Not Oscar.
No, no, no. Jonathan. He was London's first racketeer. A thief and a gangster, the onion.
Served him right. I say, Alf, who's the bit of fluff in the plastic coffin in the corner?
Bit of fluff, me eye. There is Ron Necker. They must answer noblemen of ancient Egypt. Personal friend of Snofru, the greatest pharaoh of Egyptian history.
Blimey, he's pretty enough to be a woman, though.
Why, not so much of it. Don't have one word said against Ra Nefer. He's my favorite.
All right, my lad, all right. I'm not the one to argue. But why is he so blooming exclusive?
4,700 years ago, Egypt went to war. And the pharaoh Snofru signed the conscription bill, calling everybody to the colors. And nobody was happier than Pharaoh's best friend, Ra Nefer. He may have been a pretty boy, but he was a scrapper and a first-class soldier.
He got killed, I suppose, winning the Victoria Cross.
No, no, he never even got to the front. He was so handsome and such a favorite with all the ladies at court that they couldn't bear to think of him being messed up by disfigure.
Yeah.
So, with the tears in their eyes, they pleaded with the pharaoh to keep Ra Nefer at home.
And pharaoh did it?
Ah, he did and all. Worked a terrible hardship on poor Ra Nefer. He finally died in bed. Died of a broken heart, you might say.
My, oh, my. So all his life he wanted to go to war and had to wait 4,700 years to get on the firing line.
Aye, Bill. But he's really on the firing line now, poor bloke. Mm. And it's just as well he don't know anything about it.
No, I suppose. Do you hear that? Yeah. It's the air raid warning. Jerry's coming over out. That means I've got to be running off to the post.
Oh, wait a bit, Bill. Now go along and make your way up the stairs and guide the people down to the turret bomb-proof shelter.
Our tomb has been shattered by men who fly like birds of prey and make waste the undefended city, destroying the seats of learning, the centers of arts and sciences. Hence I, Ra Nefer, noble of the court of Snofru, the greatest of all the pharaohs of ancient Egypt, call upon you, the spirits of other immortals whose relics lie here, to arise and join me in making war upon those who have desecrated this, our sacred place of rest. Let our avenging spirits take the air and strike until blood for blood atones.
I tell you, it is the truth. You have eyes, see for yourself. Look at the indicators on the instrument panels.
Captain Hill, France, you're right. They are pouring enough fuel into the engines to give us a speed of 300 miles an hour. Yet the speed indicator is zero. This is almost vertical climb, and yet the indicator says we are level zero.
Fantastic. The turn and bank indicator does not register. It is as if we were suspended in midair.
Tell Edmund, I'm going mad. Mad.
Quick, Edmund, yes. Attend to him.
What the devil do you mean by leaving your post without orders? Get back to that red gun turret at once.
No. There is some evil in the air. Out of the clouds, a face flies directly against the window of the turret.
What?
A woman's face. A beautiful face with deep-set eyes that burn into mine. Her flowing robe brush against the glass as she flies past.
That's nonsense, you whining fool. Get back to that gun turret.
No, I tell you it's the truth. I stand there. Soon, more forms and faces come out of the clouds. Two ugly, mean faces who laugh and point to faces of criminals.
You're mad. Stark, raving mad.
No, I see them, I tell you. Soon there comes the face of a man, bearded and helmeted, carrying a broadsword and shield.
Your nerves have cracked. Go lie down.
I tell you, I'm not sick. I see these things. The face and figure of a man dressed like an ancient Egyptian. Then I seize my gun, take aim. Then out of nowhere, a pair of hands seize my guns. They bend and twist them like pieces of fire. Go see for yourself, Herr Leutnant.
I will. Yeah, just to prove you're either mad or lying.
There, Herr Leutnant. Am I mad? Am I lying? See, did you see for yourself?
Quiet, Jumcoop. Cross the floor. Now, go back there and lay down.
Well, Herman, what is it?
We are caught. Trapped. In the grip of the supernatural. Something devilishly dear to an incomprehensible kind.
What?
The gun of a fright?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw for myself.
Herman, you hear the motor? Motor there, dead.
No. It can see. Our ears, our minds are playing tricks with us. The motor has failed. Why are we not falling?
It's madness. We can't defy the laws of gravitation.
Look. There at the windows. The faces, the gunner has saw.
They're all around us. We are trapped, encircled in a cloud of dust.
No, no, Herman. Get a grip on yourself. There's still a chance we will abandon the ship. Jump for it.
But if all else has failed, why not a parachute?
We will experiment with the gunner back there. He shall jump first.
Good.
Come quickly.
But if he should fail?
You, there, gunner. Up, on your feet. We are going to abandon ship. Bail out. You will make the first jump.
No, no, I shall not. I will not jump out there into the darkness. Those faces, those people, I don't want to go.
You will do it, my order. No. Herman, open the door at once. If this cowardly pig will not jump, we will throw him out.
No.
Now, do you hear? Up on your feet at once. Prepare to jump. Up on your feet, I say.
No, no, I don't want to.
Walk over to the door. Get your finger in the ring of your red cross. Jump when I give the command. Ready? Jump. Now, look below. Do you see him? It's the parachute opening.
Yes. Yeah, Franz. Good. We are safe. I jump down. I turn you below.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Before proceeding with our regularly scheduled program, we will broadcast two late bulletins dealing with last night's air raid over London. The first from the Ministry of Home Security. The Ministry for Home Security regrets to announce the destruction in last night's air raid of the Museum of the Royal College of Surgeons in South Kensington. Many priceless relics were totally destroyed by a direct hit upon this great national institution. The second bulletin is a communique from the Air Ministry. After a most thorough examination by Air Ministry officials, there is still no further clue revealing the reason for the landing of a Junkers 87 bomber in Kensington Gardens early this morning. The plane was in perfect condition, with ample fuel in the tanks, and not the slightest scratch or damage caused either by machine gun or anti-aircraft fire. The very difficult landing was most skillfully accomplished without damage to the ship or surrounding property. Yet the pilot and the members of the crew were found a short distance away with the parachutes open, proving they must have bailed out of the ship in midair. An air of profound mystery also surrounds the death of the pilot and his crew. There were no wounds or any other apparent cause for their death. The coroner of South Kensington has reported their death from unknown causes. You have just heard an original radio drama, The Mummy's Revenge, based upon historical characters and events in a feature article entitled, Waited 4,700 Years to Get on the Firing Line. This is but one of the many excellent stories, articles, and feature fiction to be found in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper.